cette étincelle entre nous.
I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Una América Latina productiva y nuestra activista.
We want a productive, non-extractivist Latin America, a Latin America that deepens knowledge to the highest spheres of human knowledge.
Colombia makes history as voters elect the country's first leftist president, the former M-19 guerrilla senator and mayor of Bogota, Gustavo Petro. His running mate, Afro-Colombian environmentalist Francia Marquez Mina, will become Colombia's first black vice president. We'll go to Colombia for response.
This was a truly remarkable victory. It's the first time the leftist win the election in Colombia, and he didn't just win. He had, like, the highest number of votes in an election in the history of the country. And Gustavo Petro really wants to transform Colombia. He wants to get Colombia into a social democracy. He wants free healthcare, and he wants public education for everybody. And to do that, he would like the richest in Colombia to pay more taxes.
We'll also hear from the Colombian president-elect and the vice president-elect in their own words when we interview them on Democracy Now!
We are giving impetus to the idea that in Colombia, a new form of government is possible, governance that is built up from the black, indigenous, and peasant peoples, from the very different sectors of the community, LGBTIQ+, from the youth, from the women, from the small farmers of Colombia, those who have been no one, that is to say, who have never had a voice in the government.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Gustavo Petro has won Colombia's presidential election in an historic vote. Petro is a former M-19 guerrilla, former mayor of Bogota. He will become Colombia's first leftist president after vowing to fight worsening inequality in Colombia with landmark policies, including a tax reform and redistribution of pension savings. In an election runoff, Petro won about 50.5% of the vote, defeating the right-wing businessman Rodolfo Hernandez, who won about 47% of the vote. Petro's running mate, the Afro-Colombian environmentalist Francia Marquez Mina, also made history. She becomes Colombia's first black vice president. On Sunday, Petro addressed reporters, supporters.
Nosotros vamos a desarrollar el capitalismo en Colombia.
We will develop capitalism in Colombia.
No porque lo adoremos.
Not because we worship it.
Sino porque tenemos primero que superar.
But because we first have to overcome pre-modernity in Colombia.
El feudalismo en Colombia.
Feudalism in Colombia. And the new slavery.
Esclavismos. La nueva esclavitud. Tenemos que superar mentalidades.
We must overcome the past mentalities and behaviors linked to that world of slavery.
We'll have more on the Colombian elections after headlines, and we'll hear interviews with both the vice president and president-elect. In news from France, President Emmanuel Macron's centrist party has lost its absolute majority in France's parliament, and a major setback for Macron. His coalition won a total of 245 seats in Sunday's election. A left-wing coalition led by Jean-Luc Mélenchon won 131 seats, while Marine Le Pen's far-right National Rally Party won 89 seats. On Sunday, Mélenchon praised the results of the election.
C'est une situation totalement inattendue.
It's a totally unexpected situation. Absolutely unprecedented. It's the total defeat of the president's party, and there is no majority. We've achieved the political objective we gave ourselves in under a month to bring down the man who, with such arrogance, twisted the arm of the whole country to get elected without us knowing what he was going to do when he was.
Russia appears close to capturing the eastern Ukrainian city of Severodonetsk after weeks of fierce fighting. Russia's escalating its attack on the city's Azot chemical plant, where hundreds of civilians and Ukrainian fighters have sought shelter. Russia has also increased shelling of the nearby city of Lysychansk. If Russia seizes the two cities, thousands of Ukrainian forces could be stranded. Meanwhile, Ukraine has attacked offshore oil and gas drilling platforms off the coast of Crimea and the Black Sea. The Wall Street Journal reports the attacks could cost Russia billions of dollars in damage and lost revenue. Hours after the attack, Russia fired rockets at the southern Ukrainian city of Odessa in the largest attack on the city in weeks. Meanwhile, Russia's acknowledged it plans to put on trial two U.S. veterans who were captured fighting in Ukraine. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has said the men were mercenaries and are not subject to the Geneva Conventions. The Russian journalist Dmitry Muratov has auctioned off his Nobel Peace Prize for over $103 million to raise money for Ukrainian child refugees. Muratov, who won the Nobel Prize last year, spoke prior to the auction.
My country invaded the territory of another state, Ukraine. There are now 15.5 million refugees, and how one must deal with this is completely incomprehensible. We thought for a long time about what we could do, what each individual could do, and we thought that everyone should give away that which is dear to them, important to them.
In March, Muratov closed his newspaper, Novaya Gazeta, after receiving a warning from a Russian state censor over its coverage of the invasion of Ukraine. Israel appears to be headed to its fifth election in 3 years after Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced he will soon resign and dissolve parliament. Foreign Minister Yair Lapid will soon take over to lead a caretaker government until the election is held. A new vote could result in Benjamin Netanyahu returning to power. The New York Times has wrapped up a months-long investigation into the recent fatal shooting of Al Jazeera reporter Shireen Abu Akleh in the occupied West Bank. At the time of her death, Shireen was covering an Israeli military raid in the Jenin refugee camp. The Times found, quote, the bullet that killed Ms. Abu Akleh was fired from the approximate location of the Israeli military convoy, most likely by a soldier from an elite unit, unquote. Last week, Al Jazeera reported the bullet that killed Abu Akleh was a U.S.-made armor-piercing bullet that's used by the Israeli military. Unprecedented rain has killed at least 116 people in India and Bangladesh. Millions of people have been displaced from their homes or trapped by flooding. On Friday, one area of India recorded almost 40 inches of rain in a single day. One of Bangladesh's largest airports is underwater. The flooding comes just a month after catastrophic flooding in northeastern Bangladesh left 4 million people homeless, including 1.6 million children. This comes as India is facing record-breaking heat that has devastated wheat production, as well as the mango harvest and other signs of the global climate emergency. Temperatures in Iran soared to 126 degrees Fahrenheit Monday. Last week, the heat index soared to 165 degrees Fahrenheit in parts of Iran due to high heat and high humidity. In Spain, an early heat wave sparked devastating wildfires that have burned at least 74,000 acres. Meanwhile, temperature records are breaking across the Midwest in the United States. In Minnesota, streets have begun buckling due to the high heat. A spokesperson for the World Meteorological Organization said, quote, "What we're witnessing today is unfortunately a foretaste of the future." In news from Ethiopia, witnesses say at least 200 civilians were killed in a massacre Saturday in the western region of Oromia. Some witnesses put the death toll at over 320. The Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed condemned what he called horrific attacks. One survivor said members of the Oromo Liberation Army carried out the attack, targeting ethnic Amharas, who are a minority in the region. However, members of the OLA blamed government forces of carrying out the massacre. In Honduras, David Castillo, a former U.S.-trained Honduran military officer and businessman, has been sentenced to 22 years and 6 months in prison for his role in ordering and planning the 2016 assassination of Berta Cáceres, a Lenca land and water defender. Castillo is the former president of the hydroelectric corporation, DESA. Cáceres was assassinated as she led the fight against the construction of DESA's massive hydroelectric dam on a river in southwestern Honduras that's sacred to the Lenca people. Newly released surveillance camera footage from inside the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, has shed new light on the police response to last month's mass shooting at the school that killed 19 fourth graders and two of their teachers. New video shows heavily armed officers were inside the school and had at least one ballistic shield just minutes after the gunman entered the school. But officers didn't enter the classroom for another 58 minutes. It has also emerged that a Uvalde police officer had a chance to shoot the gunman before he entered the school, but the officer declined to take the shot, fearing he could accidentally hit someone else. Some 17 million children in the United States are now eligible to receive COVID vaccines beginning today. Over the weekend, the CDC and FDA signed off on two-dose Moderna and three-dose Pfizer vaccines for children as young as 6 months old. Until now, only children 5 and older were eligible to be vaccinated. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6 insurrection is holding its fourth public hearing today with a focus on Donald Trump's efforts to pressure state officials to overturn the 2020 election. Witnesses testifying include Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers. Democracy Now! Will stream the hearing live at democracynow.org beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. A member of the January 6 committee, Illinois Republican Congressmember Adam Kinzinger, has revealed he recently received a death threat targeting him, his wife, and their newborn child. Kinzinger is one of only two Republicans on the House Select Committee. Last year, he was one of just 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump after the insurrection. In related news, former Missouri Governor Eric Reitens has released a new campaign ad calling for moderate Republicans known as RINOs to be hunted down and shot. RINO stands for Republicans in Name Only. In the video, Eric Reitens, a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in Missouri, is seen with a shotgun raiding a house alongside a group of heavily armed men in battle gear.
I'm Eric Reitens, Navy SEAL, and today we're going RINO hunting. The RINO feeds on corruption and is marked by the stripes of cowardice.
Facebook has removed the campaign video and Twitter blocked it from being shared. In 2018, Eric Reitens resigned as governor of Missouri after a woman he was having an affair with accused him of sexual assault and taking non-consensual nude photographs after he tied her up naked in his basement. Reitens' ex-wife has also accused him of abusing her and their young son. The Texas Republican Party has approved a radical new platform. It rejects the results of the 2020 election, claims Joe Biden's not the legitimately elected president of the United States. The Texas GOP also calls for the abolition of abortion, the prohibition of sex education in schools, and the overturning of the Supreme Court case legalizing same-sex marriage while referring to homosexuality as, quote, an abnormal lifestyle choice, unquote. The Republican platform also criticizes Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas for working on a bipartisan gun legislation. The platform also reiterates that Texas retains the right to secede from the United States. Workers at an Apple store in Towson, Maryland, have voted to become the first unionized Apple store in the country. Despite pressure from Apple, about two-thirds of the store's workers voted to be represented by the Apple Coalition of Organized Retail Employees. On Monday, President Biden said he's proud of the workers who unionized. And thousands gathered in Washington, D.C. Saturday for the Mass Poor People's and Low-Wage Workers' Assembly and Moral March. Speakers included Bishop William Barber.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be mainly cloudy with a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be the risk of a thunderstorm and a high of 24 degrees Celsius. Friday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 25 degrees Celsius. Saturday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 29 degrees Celsius. Sunday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 31 degrees Celsius. Monday there will be light rain and a high of 25 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday will be sunny with a high of 24 degrees Celsius.
Quest'amore, questa morte, onde io vivo in un bel viso, è un orrore così forte che tormenta il cuore inciso. È un orrore così forte che tormenta il cuore inciso. Dunque mal di fugge amore, questa febbre, questa lue, che di pianti, che di pene, sempre amor prodigo fure. Che di pianti, che di pene,
prodigo fu. And then it came to nothing. The summer shook us all. That begat the fear and then the fall. Oh, my little earthshaker that fell from the sky. We thought that you were so divine. Did we all try? Is this
It's summertime. Time to hit the road. Hit that Trans-Canada Highway. Past the nation's capital, past the sleepy cows, and into the peaceful pastures of Wakefield, Quebec. For the first time ever, Swanee Peril Popolo presents a day of revelatory offerings in an historic farmhouse, Fairburn House, bordering the Gatineau River in Wakefield. Saturday, June 25th, music begins at 3:30 p.m. On the bill, Swanee Heartstoppers, Esmarine, Willie Mitchell, Nada Al-Shazly, and Eliza Caution. For tickets, directions, camping, and all the 411, go to swaneeperilpopolo.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Sure you get to the right end. Otherwise we're not friends, you're not invited. She's the And now for some news you can use. Montreal's annual fireworks competition returns this Saturday. It's called L'International des Feux Lotto Québec, and it attracts pyrotechnic teams from across the world. Over 6 weeks, music and visual spectacle will erupt from La Ronde, the Six Flags amusement park by the St. Lawrence River. For more information, visit sixflags.com/laronde-en. And there's a new permanent exhibit dedicated to Sikh art in the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. It includes centuries-old and contemporary pieces. For more information on the exhibit and the museum, visit mbam.qc.ca. And over the weekend, a new sculpture was installed in downtown Montreal. Aptly called The Ring, it weighs 23 tons. In September, it will be raised into the air between two buildings. It's located right next to Place Ville-Marie, and it's to celebrate the 60th anniversary of this office complex and shopping center.
This is Chard Chenier, and you're listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
Hello, lovely people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower, but you can listen to it wherever the hell you want.
And we really do mean anywhere. You can listen to it while you're knitting your granny a scarf.
You can listen to it while you're carving your own face out of a cliff, like Mount Rushmore.
You can listen to it while you're, more likely than that, frying an egg.
You can listen to it anywhere. We really, really do mean anywhere. But we hope that people listen to it in the extreme places that we suggest.
What's the point of this podcast, Marcus?
The whole point of this podcast is to look out the window at the mysteries of the world and debunk them with fervor and fire and spunk.
Marcus is very enthusiastic for this episode. Basically, listeners send in questions that they've always wondered the answer to, but never quite went as far as looking up. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
why does our hair turn grey?
Why do we get hangovers?
Why is food spicy?
Why do men have nipples?
And loads and loads and loads more.
I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your sexy behind.
And this week is no different.
What's the question this week, Taz?
This week's question is one that has plagued me for my 23 years of existence. And I know whether you're going to admit it or not, has plagued every listener of this podcast.
What is it?
Once and for all, we need to lay down the facts. Do periods sync up? This week's question comes from yours truly.
Although, you know what? I am genuinely, properly intrigued by this one.
Okay, so over the Christmas break, I was two turkey sambos deep.
Best turkey sambos I've ever had in my life.
Amen,
Jesus.
Sister. Lying on the couch and binge watching Modern Family.
As you do.
Yeah, precisely. But in the episode I was watching, season 3, episode 17, if you want to check it out, Phil talks about how Claire, Alex and Haley's periods sync up. Have a listen.
Dear God, no. I heard rumors. Yeah, we all had. That females living or working in close quarters could eventually get on the same cycle. But I always assumed that was a story designed to keep women out of the submarine corps.
Which got me thinking, is it actually true? Do periods actually sync up?
I'm not going to lie, this is a phenomenon that has always kind of baffled me. I've heard it so many times. I know there's a scene in The Office and loads of other shows. I've never actually dared to ask, but it's like, it's a cultural phenomenon. It's like a point of reference in so many things.
I'm the same though. Like, it's almost an unwritten rule amongst my pals that we all sync up. I presumed it was just evolution being sound so that we could all save money and bulk buy ice cream.
I always assumed that women could group together and show unity against the period devil. You know, like, if men got periods, I swear, like, the world doesn't have enough sympathy for women going.
Amen.
Genuinely. And, like, all my bleeding sisters, fucking, you're fighting the good fight. If men got periods, we'd get, like, days off work. We'd have national holidays. Like, honestly, you'd get the week off.
Yeah, so we're like, absolutely, we can agree it is a horrific, horrific time.
All right, but back to the question at hand. Do they sync up?
Okay, so before I go into the theory and science behind this, I think it's worth mentioning that most women believe in this phenomenon. A study conducted in 1999 found that 80% of women believed that their period synced up with other women they spent a considerable amount of time with.
But surely there has to be some kind of study or solid evidence for it to be taken as, you know, gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. So this question first kind of arose publicly back in about 1971 when a researcher called Martha McClintock studied the menstrual cycles of about 135 women in an American college dorm.
Obviously, in a dormitory situation, the same women would spend a massive amount of time in close proximity. They'd be sleeping together, eating together, living together. They'd be in each other's like personal space all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So it was noted that certain dorms were getting a larger amount of sanitary products at certain times of the month than others.
Ah, so in theory, if there's like five dorms with 10 women in each, you'd assume that approximately three women in each dorm would be on their periods every week. And because of that, approximately the same amount of sanitary products will be handed out to each dorm every week. Like that kind of, if you're going by the law of averages.
Yeah, exactly. Like you would think that. But in fact, what was actually happening was dorm A was getting the majority of their sanitary products 1 week, and then dorm B was getting the majority of their sanitary products on a certain week, and then so on and so forth.
Which then would suggest that in each dorm, there's a dominant week where most women were menstruating, suggesting that, yeah, were they syncing up in some way?
That's what started the question, because it would seem to be that way. So Martha McClintock was intrigued by this and conducted a study. And in her Harvard research paper titled Menstrual Synchrony and Suppression, McClintock tracked 135 female college students living in the same dorm and found that the onset of the date of menstruation was more similar amongst friends and roommates than amongst random pairings of women.
So she found proof, essentially. But did she find an explanation? Like, it can't just be a fluke. It can't just be like, mates, 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 let's set our wombs off at the same time.
Well, Dr. McClintock concluded that this was because the women who were spending more time together had a chance for their pheromones to kind of begin affecting each other.
We talked about pheromones in the love episode, didn't we? So pheromones are like chemicals that are excreted from your skin that trigger like a social response in members of the same species. So like they can make you feel attraction, but I didn't know they could make you do this, really.
Yeah, well that's it. So that's the kind of theory that she came up with. She concluded that it was female pheromones acting together, and the reasoning for it is genuinely the most badass feminist bodily response I have ever heard.
Go on.
Okay, so think of it this way. If a female's menstrual cycle starts to sync up, it in turn means that they would all be fertile at the same time. So then by having all the females fertile at the same time, it means that they won't be singled out and targeted by a male. So it's just Mother N looking out for us gals.
So obviously like females are uniting and kind of, you know, ramping up the fertility. But did this theory get much attention? Like has it proven to be true?
Not exactly. So during the time of this study, we kind of began to see the first waves of feminism, and it was emerging as an important movement. And because of this, many theorists think that this may be kind of one of the reasons why the idea became so popular. Like from a feminist point of view, the idea that females would cooperate in the face of male domination was very attractive and different and brought out a sense of, you know, we're all in this together.
High School Musical style.
Exactly.
So this, obviously the feminist movement was very new, and it took this theory and it put it up on a shelf and it ran with it without actually getting scientific proof.
That's exactly it. It's based on nothing but a theory, but it's believed so widespread.
So if that's the case, has it been scientifically proven to be false?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So basically Martha McClintock kind of going, oh my God, all the girls are fertile together so no man can come in and be like you. I want to make a baby with you and single them out. All the girls are together. Turns out that she was actually wrong.
Yeah, so a new scientific study thought to be the largest of its kind has found data showing that women's periods do not synchronize when they live together at all. Yeah, I know. The study carried out by period tracking and fertility app Clue in partnership with the University of Oxford received 1,500 responses, which were narrowed down to 360 pairs of women. And then they analysed three consecutive cycles in each pair. And the research found the vast majority, 273 pairs, had a greater difference in period start dates at the end of the study than at the beginning of the study. So in other words, menstrual syncing is a myth.
It's weird because even though you've given scientific evidence which proves it's not true, I sort of still believe it's true.
So do I and all my friends. Like, we're all of the impression. I bleed out of my womb every month. I suffer the pain. I know I sync with my pals, and no scientist can prove otherwise.
I think maybe, is it the comfort that you're sharing the burden, that you're going through the same thing? It's like you're all together. You all know how much this hurts, how uncomfortable it is. And it's like, is it an empathy thing that maybe you're not starting at the same time, but you're all in it together? Again, High School Musical style.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think it is. And even one of the lead researchers in the new study questioned it, saying that the idea that periods sync up feeds into the feeling of connection, support and sisterhood. And even though we do it every month, periods are personal. And the thought of, you know, sharing it with someone makes the idea powerful. That's why, you know, we continue to look for patterns even where they don't exist.
So that's another question to you, but that was really interesting. I enjoyed this episode. I was dreading it a little bit because, you know, as a guy, I'm like, periods, icky.
But you know what? So many guys just don't have a clue about periods, and like so many girls don't have a clue about male bodily functions. And it's like,
I thought you were going to be like male periods. I was like, wow, you really don't have a clue. So, I mean, just to go with tradition, do we have time for a couple of period facts?
What a lovely way to end the episode. Period facts.
Period facts. If any of our male listeners haven't tuned out by this point, I think this is probably where they will. But no, guys, listen in. It's important to understand the female brethren.
The average total amount of blood lost during a period is anywhere from 2 tablespoons to half a cup.
2 tablespoons? Yeah. I thought it was like gallons. Honestly, like, I thought it was like that scene in The Shining, you know, where like the elevator door opens and it's just like whoosh. Because I presume that's the sound that a tsunami of like hotel blood, whoosh.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Is that not what happened? 2 tablespoons. Yeah, yeah. That's how much like jam I put on my toast this morning. That is, wow.
Anyway, next one. Human females are one of the only mammals that go through menopause.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that was a squeaky really.
That was a squeaky really.
That's interesting.
Obviously, you're surprised.
I thought that like kind of everything went through menopause. Not men, obviously, but you know, the patriarchy have to call it menopause.
last fact.
Go on, last period fact.
Tampon is French for plug.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Guys, as ever, thank you for listening. I learned so bloody much, no pun intended.
Oh God,
in that episode, honestly. And God, it's given me such an appreciation for what all my female ladies go through.
Sisters unite.
There you go. So guys, if you have any questions, and genuinely we will tackle any question that you have, big or small, serious or not so serious, you can send it through to us on Facebook at In The Shower with Taz and Marcus, just look it up, or on Twitter it's at In The Shower Pod. Or if you're more of an email kind of person,
if you want to do it the old fashioned way, you can send an email with your mythical question that you would like debunked to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Just to end the episode, a few thank yous as ever. Thank you so much to Alan and Paddy in the Head Stuff studio. We love you guys and couldn't do it without you.
I wonder if their periods have synced. Na, 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 na. Thank you so much to the wonderful Flo Robinson for doing our cover art. Flo, you are immeasurably talented and we love you.
Last but not least, thank you so much to Dave Gertzman for our lovely theme music that we adore so, so much.
When the psychic said you'd be someone thought you'd be this town's fortunate son. Just like a pawn in a thinking man's game, the simple move that breaks the chain. But as time ticks on by, the spell dissipates. For there is no magic, only tricks. But I reaching out to someone just like you. It said if you search, you will find a wonder that sparks a child's will to be free. And I have learned along the way, for every gap that's sealed, another crack appears. For every man that finds his voice, another's must be silenced for a while. And now it's me. And now it's mine. Size of Montreal that runs through my
Thank you. die. Talk to yourself, talk to yourself. Take care of your life. Start with the mind. Start with the mind. Start with the mind. Start with the mind. Mind, mind. Start with the mind. Mind, mind. Start with the mind. Mind, 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 mind. Start with the mind.
Babies presents a barbecue in the park on Jean-Baptiste Day. Friday, June 24th from noon till 8 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, corner of Côte Saint-Catherine and Westbury. On the menu, pork and chicken, barbecue and jerk, curry goat, saltfish, breadfruit and saltfish, also sides and homemade juices, and sweet treats. All plates $18 or less. So come out and enjoy the outside with Baby and the crew. Friday, June 24th at Mackenzie King Park.
Confident, and I don't always see the consequence. My ego gets off, think I know it all, but you predict the fall just like you do every time. And you pull me from my vices that give me bad advice, and I know that, yes, I know that. But you deserve much better. I keep trying to get there, but I stumble. Yeah, I stumble. And you say, sometimes you're just a stranger in disguise I don't recognize. But baby, well I know I can keep loving you with my eyes closed. I will. Sometimes I think that the only thing more stubborn than me is your loyalty. And you always know the right punch to throw to make a man of me. So look me in the eyes, cut me down to size, make me realize that I take your love for granted and live on second chances. You know that, but you know that. That I'll be running like a bandit, won't leave you empty-handed, back to you every time. And you say, sometimes you're just a stranger in disguise I don't recognize. But baby, well I know I can keep loving you with my eyes closed. I wear your heart. Well, I know I can't keep loving you with my eyes closed. I wear your heart like an accessory, and I play with it so easily. Oh, I screw up, I get high, I get so out of line, but I'll stumble home to you every damn time.
This is Brian Campbell, and you're listening to New Spins Library on CKUT.
It's a light new morning,
The sun is shining bright. Put away your sadness, dear. We're gonna have a bright good time.
Well, that wraps up the New Spins Library for this week. Terminal 5 and the Sleepy King are up next. Keep listening to CKUT.
juin 2022. C'est l'émission Sleepy King Radio. On est dans le solstice d'été.